Please be seated. In the Muslim tradition, there are said to be 99 names of God. This number and the names themselves are from the Quran. The 99 names of God are also known as the 99 attributes of God. And so each name is an attribute, a quality, a characteristic, a trait. Taken together, these attributes describe who God is and how God interacts with creation. Among the 99 are the kind, the loving, and the wise, the pardoner and the avenger, the giver of life and the bringer of death. We Christians also name God, though we don't have a list, and therefore we are perhaps less mindful about it. But pay close attention, and on any Sunday you will notice various names for God sprinkled throughout our liturgy. This happens to be a Sunday on which we name God quite specifically. We recognize today as Christ the King, or Reign of Christ Sunday. That theme was articulated in our processional hymn, in which Jesus bears scepter and throne, triumph and victory. The King is, by the way, one of Islam's 99 names of God. For Christians, Christ the King is a fairly recent liturgical observance, having begun in the Roman Catholic Church only in 1925. Though it has since been picked up by Anglicans and Lutherans, it's not even in our Book of Common Prayer. I take some comfort from that as I confess my own discomfort with the image of Christ wearing a crown, although we have some crosses around here that we see every Sunday with Christ wearing a crown. Maybe that's because it's a lot easier to warm up with names like Most Gracious or Most Merciful. Or maybe it's because we live in a representative democracy that takes pride in having rebelled against a monarchy. In John's gospel reading today, Jesus himself seems reluctant to assume the mantle of kingship, at least kingship as this world understands it. Still, since we're here, maybe it's worth taking a closer look at Jesus as Christ the King. Now, the liturgical year that began last November on the first Sunday of Advent ends this week. Today is the last Sunday before Advent, the last Sunday of the liturgical year. For the months following Pentecost, the Sunday gospel readings are mostly about Jesus' activity in the world. Today is the last Sunday of that lengthy period. Next Sunday, we head again into Advent, the season of hopeful anticipation of the first coming of our Messiah. So perhaps it's fitting to end this liturgical year with a dash of hopeful anticipation of our Messiah's second coming. Now, one's anticipation might be less than hopeful if one's only conception of Jesus' return is a literal reading of the book of Revelation. The bloody vengeance described there is something with which we might rightfully struggle. Therefore, it's important to again remind ourselves that the book of Revelation is part of a body of apocalyptic scripture. Revelation was written not as prediction for some distant future, but rather as commentary about the then time and place. Its author observed the political climate of the day, recognized it as cruel and corrupt, and invoked an intervening Jesus as a disruptive force. The Gospels also place Jesus within his socio-political setting. We really must locate him there to understand the Gospels. The Gospels quite consistently portray Jesus pushing back against patterns of cruelty and corruption propagated by the religious and political leaders of his day. We might even hear in this the naming of Jesus as the disruptor. And that might be another way to think about Christ, the King. The Jesus of the Gospels was and continues to be an intervening, disruptive force. We might even read the book of Revelation as an invitation to consider our own socio-political context. Ask where it fosters cruelty and corruption, and then imagine how Jesus, the disruptor, might intervene. I'm actually going to lighten this up considerably right now. Maybe you've seen the movie Miss Congeniality. In that film, Sandra Bullock stars as FBI agent Gracie Hart, who is embedded in the fictional Miss United States beauty pageant in order to ferret out a domestic terrorist. Gracie is more tomboy than princess, and she retains her rough edges despite the efforts of an expert pageant groomer. Gracie hilariously makes it through the swimsuit portion of the competition, and the next scene opens with a close-up of Miss Hawaii in an evening gown. Without any further setup, she says this: "I would have to say world peace." Then follows a close-up of Miss Texas, who says, "Definitely world peace." Then Miss California, who says, "That's easy, world peace." Then Miss New York, world peace. Finally, we see pageant MC Stan and our heroine Gracie. It's only then that we hear Stan voice the question the women have been answering: what is the one most important thing our society needs? We all know it's an old joke that pageant hosts always ask some variation of this question, and pageant contestants always reply, "World peace." But FBI agent Gracie Hart replies, "That would be harsher punishment for parole violators, Stan." The camera shifts to members of the audience who are sitting in confused silence. After a 5-second pause, Gracie realizes she can't possibly leave it there. "And world peace," she adds. The crowd erupts. What is the one most important thing our society needs? No matter how ridiculous it may sound coming out of the mouth of a beauty pageant contestant, if you take that question seriously, I bet your answer really is something like world peace. World peace and food for everyone who is hungry. World peace and shelter for everyone who is homeless. World peace and health care for everyone who is sick. Despite our differences, I expect that's what most people in our heart of hearts are really, hopefully, anticipating. God the nourisher, God the shelterer, God the healer. This is the one to whom we pray and for whom we act. There are Christians who read the book of Revelation for clues about the supposedly coming apocalypse. Some watch for signs, and a few go so far as to predict a date. Those dates come and those dates go. At least they've gone so far. Apparently, someone predicted that the rapture, the beginning of the end of the world as we know it, would happen this last June. It didn't happen, but another date will come along. Every prediction is a warning to sinners like me to live in fear and trembling. My fate is sealed if I don't change my ways. Well, while those folks and I might disagree on the details, maybe there's some truth in that, and I expect there is some change left in me. I hope my faith is always subject to practice and growth. I fear that we have all been given a glimpse of the end of the world as we know it, and it looks a lot like wildfires in California. Climate change is happening. It occurs to me that a little fear and trembling might very well be in order. World peace and everything that goes with it is at stake. And so maybe this is a good day to meet Christ the King. We need salvation as much as humans ever have, and maybe time truly is drawing short. Jesus the Disruptor is calling us into the fellowship of those who over the ages have disrupted in his name. For the second advent of Christ the King, for the second coming of Jesus the Disruptor, may we cultivate hopeful anticipation and even hopeful preparation.